Hey, don't skip the intro just yet. I know you want to get right to it, but I'm going to talk about what's happening in the future of Potterless now, which you might have questions about, and I want to clarify that so that you don't tweet at me later. Hi, I'm Mike Schubert. I make Potterless. So this episode is the first of a few look backs for Potterless. I'm going to be talking one-on-one for about 10 to 15 minutes with every past guest, discussing things that I missed in the previous episodes, things that were funny, things that looking back are very silly, like how I used to think Quidditch was nice before I read more about Quidditch. And it's going to be a great way for me to basically reread the series without rereading the series, because that's kind of silly for me to do. This should take us up through episode 99 of Potterless. I believe this will be 10 parts. It might not be as many, we'll have to see, but I think this will bring us to 99. Then episode 100 will be a very special episode, and then starting with episode 101, we get to the movies! That is right, we're getting to the movies, and I'm very excited to do so, but before we move on to phase 2, I thought this would be a nice, fun transition and a good way to look back on how far the show has come in these 3 years. So enjoy, it's really fun, there's some really good nuggets. I know this is not the traditional episodes of Potterless, but I really hope you stick through and listen because these lookbacks are absolutely hilarious and I'm very proud of them. So I hope you enjoy them and I hope you don't give up on the pod just because the books are over. Phase 2 is going to be so much fun. And speaking of things that are very fun, we've new patrons to welcome to the team, so shout out to Jessica Morelli, C7 Colors, Gisley Felix, Rachel Schoneck, Fippa Fig, Life Bloopers, Srishti Arya, Elena Campillo, Stina Leonard, Jermaine Woods, and a happy birthday to Crisia Marie Manalo Castle RPM MD. Shout out to Pivy Kukkonen, whose shout out I missed a few weeks back. Shout out to Liar Knockham and Megan Dick, who upgraded to producer level status, as well as our new producer level patrons, Out of Context 69, Liam McCormick, Milena Brandy, Marco Zepeda, Ella Robertson, and someone who made their Patreon name Steamed Nuggets with 3 exclamation points. They join the ranks of Vicky, Aaron, Jesse, Natalie, Clough, Frank, Marchismo, Samantha, Juan, Abid, Rosemary, Marie, Elisa, Romina, Kumail, Russell, Audra, Eleanor, Sydney, Rossanne, Nikita, Taylor, Ali, Amelia, Sean, Sarah, Ben, Rachel, Zachary, Orchid, Vivian, Takari, Haley, Moster, Angelina, Ross, Marie, Alex, Brian, Caitlin, Grace, Raul, Ingen, Mari, Alex, John, Noel, Tao, Emily, Robin, Will, Liz, Mariah, Brandon, Sarah, Claire, Gloria, Sarah, Patrick, Alicat, Hallie, Veronica, Kevin, Lotta, Noah, Tracy, Colleen, Jennifer, Friday, Ivor, Naomi, Tyler, Summer, Heather, Vera, Kerry, Andrea, Ella, Anthony, David, Elisa, Lynn, Cameron, Justin, Christine, Jacob, Toothless, Maya, Mark, Polly, Srujaneta, Tumnus, Remy, Matt, Sarah, Nona, Zena, Colleen, Harlan, Sheldorp, Noelia, Addie, Brian, Jenny, Nikki, Kara, Dorcas, Courtney, Kine, Amanda, Sabrina, Alicia, Kafir, Lindy, Martha, Benjamin, Skymart, Sarah, Peter, Yash, Marta, Stephanie, Justine, Aaron, CJ, Eileen, Violet, Kat, Lindsay, Fielding, Keegan, Miranda, Gail, Mr. Folk, Heather, Adam, Christina, Maya, Zachary, Kieran, Heaven, Callahan, Christy, Lily, Wire Warrior, Floor, Siri, Georgia, Vile, Itzel, Mitch, Al, Topher, Peter, Candy, Skyla, Edel, Kelsey, Ellie, Professor Threat, Kelly, Alubin, Maleo, Lena, Daniel, Rebecca, Lee, Elizabeth, Abby, Lika, Michael, Earmuffs, Kara, Tiffany, Kelly, Nadia, Andrea, Courtney, Sparklecat, Carrie, Jamie, Lissy, Camilo, Connie, Janet, Mary, Imo, Malin, Anastasia, Jaden, Nedry, Matt, Riley, Will, Zephyr, Artemis, Alubin, Maleo, Brett, Connor, Samantha, Kayla, Lauren, Aurora, Emma, Hermani, Can't I, Potter? And yes, I can, who never forget to put sunscreen on their face when they're hanging out in a park in the sun all day long. If you want to be like one of these amazing patrons and get access to bonus episodes, exclusive live streams, discount on the merch store, exclusive merchandise, you can head on over to patreon.com/potterless. But without further ado, let's get into episode 90 of Potterless, the first Potterless look back covering episodes 1 through 6 of Potterless, guest starring lots of people. Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another episode of Potterless, the tale of a grown man who finished reading a Harry Potter series for the very first time. My name is Mike Schubert. I am that 27-year-old man, and we're doing something fun as a way to go and take a look back at the journey of Potterless. And this is like my version of a reread, because I don't want to just do reread episodes. That would be very boring to be like, this is the journey of a grown man's second time reading the books. Like, that would be very silly. So instead of doing that, I thought it would be very fun. And some listeners had suggested this, and Eric Silver from Multitude had a really good idea to go back and talk with old guests about their time on the podcast. Either there were things that I missed, or things that they couldn't tell me, or things they'd bite their tongue. So we're starting from the very beginning with Alex Moodheart, who like 3 minutes in almost spoiled that Fred dies, which I had no idea until I listened back. So Alex, how's it going?
You know, it's going great. I have been reminded by many people on Twitter that I almost let many things slip, but You know what? You made it.
I did.
I want to say limited spoilers because you knew some stuff beforehand.
Right.
And I did not add to any spoilers.
No, I don't think a single guest added something that I didn't already know, which was super cool. Anytime a spoiler happened, it went over my head.
Good.
So I had you go back and listen to the episode and you took some notes. So what, going back, did you find of little nuggets in your time on Potterless?
Yeah, I would first and foremost like to apologize to the greater public that listens to your podcast, because I am aware at how stupid I was on the first episode. We were all trying to figure things out in more ways than one. Take that as you will. At 11 minutes and 30 seconds, we were talking about the snake at the zoo when they went for Dudley's birthday, I think. Uh-huh. And you were saying like what the snake said and how Harry could understand. And I was like, well, duh, like he can speak Parseltongue. And it's like, that's not something that you would have learned until the second book. So it's like, ugh, I let that slip. And that was like a little one, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah. And I knew that from the movies that he could talk to him.
Okay.
That wasn't like a big deal, because just the fact that like it wasn't said till the next book isn't like, oh man.
Yeah. But, okay. So that was like a little nugget, but nothing too crazy. And then at 18 minutes, talked about Hagrid like knowing something about like the monster that lives in the castle, or like you referenced it and or you're like, oh, maybe Hagrid went to Azkaban, blah 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, like you're gonna find that out in the second book, like basically like confirming that he did go, and you're gonna find out. So yet again, like another thing that you knew, but I should have been keeping my mouth shut just for the sake of keeping all spoilers to a minimum.
Right.
And then at 38:30, you were saying Hermione sucks. And at that point in the book, in the story, she did suck. So
she was
right
bad
there
in the first
you.
Book.
She was terrible, bad. At least for like the first like half of the first book.
Yeah, until the end, she's pretty rough.
Yeah. And you were like, I just want her and Percy to be together because like he's awful. And I was like, oh, just you wait and see. So basically I'm like telling you, you have no idea how shitty Percy's gonna get. And he like turns into a terrible human being that like betrays everyone that he knows and loves.
Yup. He has his slight redemption at the end, but yeah.
A slight.
Yeah, it's funny that Hermione, who is easily in like my top three favorite characters now.
Yeah.
I was very anti her to start. So it's a fun change to see throughout the podcast.
I love that. And I just cannot believe how like easily I say like, oh, but you just wait. And it's like, now he like knows what to look for. But the biggest spoiler that I almost let slip, and thank you everyone on Twitter that constantly tweets Shubes reminding him that I almost let this slip, was at 46 minutes and 30 seconds, roughly. I almost spoiled Fred's death. And I'm sorry. I am sorry. You were talking about going to, or we had taken like aptitude tests, and both of us tested, like our results were that we would be the Weasley twins, Fred and George.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, this could be amazing. We could go to Harry Potter World as the twins. And then I start to go, yeah, but, and I was like, oh no, I can't say this, and I'm sorry again, but at least I think that you forgot about that. Even I forgot that I said that.
It didn't even process to me.
Yeah.
Also, like, at the time of recording, which was fun, was, like, I was doing it in my old Houston apartment, which was very echoey, because it had very high ceilings.
I know, I'm so proud of your development, and you're, like, you've grown so much. You were 24 when you started this. We did that 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Isn't that wild?
It was my blue Snowball Ice microphone, which costs like $30-something.
Yeah.
With you on Skype on my Bluetooth speaker pointed at the microphone. So it was just one track, like not even really edited. And now as I'm doing this, I'm in Multitude Studio with like soundproofing on the walls. Eric Silver helped me set up the whole recording device. I have audio recording software that is recording the Skype call on your end now. Like, so we've grown so much from me being rinky-dink little, oh, I don't know, I'll make fun of Harry Potter books, I guess. And here we are now.
I love it. Yeah, I am so stoked for you. And you look like you're having a blast when you go and do live podcasts. And like, you've created such a great community, and I couldn't be more stoked for you.
Well, thanks, man. I couldn't think of a better person to start the show with. You as guest one was a very easy choice. A lot of people loved you on the show. People tweeted me very often, when is Alex coming back? So here is that answer.
Here I am.
But yeah, also, you're on the most listened to episode.
What an honor.
I mean, because it's episode one. Over 2 million people have heard you on this podcast.
Oh, God, which, I am so sorry. I know that everyone hates their voice, but I'm very aware that I have a very annoying voice.
I don't think so.
Oh, you're that's because you're very nice. The gay accent comes out real strong. But before you cut me off, I do want to say that I think I did a pretty great job avoiding spoilers, considering that you knew many things at the start of this. You had a whole episode where you went over what you knew, and even when you were talking, you like knew A, B, C, D, E, which included the following. I took down like the biggest things that like if someone knew nothing about Harry Potter would have no idea about, but you knew them. You A, knew who Voldemort was right off the bat.
Right.
B, you knew that Voldemort was living under Quirrell's turban.
Yes.
And we were talking about that in the first episode. And so, like, hearing you say these things, like, I think tricked my mind into thinking, like, like, if he knows this, he must know this, which is why I, like, felt so comfortable talking about certain things. You knew that Ginny and Harry were going to get married. You knew that Hermione and Ron were going to get married. You knew who Umbridge was already, and you hadn't even seen the movie.
I saw the fifth one, but I fell asleep during it.
Oh, yeah, you fell asleep during it.
I had seen enough to know who she was.
And then, oddly enough, you even knew that Dumbledore was gay because you follow J.K. Rowling on Twitter. So I was like, there's so many things that you knew, like, whether they were random facts or, like, important to the story that I was, like, I was trying my hardest to keep everything together and not spoil anything for you. I think that I did a pretty solid job, but I am very, very, very honored to have been the first guest on this amazing podcast, and you should be extremely proud of yourself because you've done such amazing, cool things.
Thanks, man. I'm all choked up and at a loss for words now, but this is super fun. I'm glad we got to do this, and I'm excited to talk to you when we get to your chapter 30 appearance later, or your episode 30 appearance later down the road. But yeah, this is great. Thanks for coming on and talking about
this. Of course. Thank you. I'm ready to square up with Kelly again.
So, we now move on to episode 2, where I was joined by a good, lovely old YouTube friend that I had from way back in yesteryear, Charlotte Dow. Charlotte, how's it going?
I'm great. I love that I am an old friend because I am, in fact, old. Actually, I'm almost 28. Please don't yell at me.
Everyone over the age of 28.
I have offended everyone, but, you know, it just always feels like a slow climb to 30 these days. And you know what? That's great. I'm going to thrive in my 30s.
Good. Do it. Yeah.
Saturn return happening. Anyway. Yeah. This was 3 years ago. Wow.
Wild.
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 The podcast has changed a lot since then. It was very weird to listen to this back and not have like a million names on the front and back of it.
The intro was so short.
There was no intro. It was just the theme music.
Oh my goodness. I'm sure some people out there who forget that skip buttons exist are like, oh my God, the glory days.
Sometimes I listen to them. Sometimes I don't, you know,
it's
I appreciate
totally fine.
The patrons.
That's the joy of podcasts. It is so easy to skip stuff if you don't want to hear things.
Exactly.
You just hit the forward button a couple of times. Yeah. It's so good.
Your ad reads are great. I never skip those.
Thank you. I try very hard.
I want to hear you talk about Stitch Fix.
I might on this episode. Who's to say?
Who's to say? We love a Stitch Fix. I was listening back to this and I realized it was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I feel like my life has changed a lot since then. But I'm listening to it and I'm like, I'm pretty much the same person.
It's very fun because someone tweeted the other day that they were re-listening to Potterless and they said, oh, I just started from the beginning. Mike sounds so young. And I went back and listened to think, did I actually sound that different? And I don't. I just sounded worse because I had a worse microphone.
You sounded pretty much the same. You've just gotten more into your kind of groove and podcast personality, I guess.
Yes.
You've developed your character.
Yeah, the character for sure. Because when I did YouTube and then Vine and then now with this, I still am mostly myself. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like me turned up to 11. It's more fun on a comedy podcast to be hyperbolic. So that's why I say things are either so good or the worst.
For sure.
And it's nothing in between because if I kept hedging my bets and stuff, the episodes would be a million years long because I'd be like, well, Snape's the worst. However, if you do consider the fact that he had a rough childhood, like everything would go on forever. And it's just more fun for me to be like, yo, fuck Hedwig, even though like Hedwig's fine.
Yeah, Hedwig's fine. She's an owl. It's cool. I mean, I relate to that as a writer in that I tend to hedge my bets like when writing things, especially if there's like opinions involved, because I'm like, you gotta see both sides, whatever. And then that just makes my pieces like way longer than they need to be.
Right.
But anytime I take like a stand on Twitter, people yell at me, and
I mean, that's the internet.
I love the internet.
See, imagine taking stands on Harry Potter things.
Yeah.
Ooh, welcome to my world.
Like, I made a joke about how there should be a VidCon for everybody who, like, remembers the Bush presidency.
Yeah, that was a very funny tweet. I remember
it. It was a great tweet. And some people were like, how dare you? Why would you even come here if you knew that there was going to be so many young people? This isn't the con for you. I'm like, first of all, not even there. Second of all, this was a joke. Thank you.
Jokes, they happen.
Speaking of jokes,
we had jokes on this podcast.
We had
what happened
jokes.
In episode two, where we covered 9 chapters of the first book? Remember, I could cover more than one chapter in an episode.
LOL, what a time. What a time. So you said at one point, I think a lot of our friends will be on this podcast. LOL, you guys started a fucking company together, which is
very cool. I had no idea Multitude was brewing until a few episodes in when Potter started to be good. And Amanda mentioned, hey, we're thinking of doing a thing. Do you want in? And
yeah.
I said, yes. And I'm glad I did.
But even if you look at like the back episodes, it's like, Amanda, Eric Schneider.
Well, I wasn't lying that I said it was going to be a bunch of our YouTube friends on. And then someone canceled on me last minute, which is why Amanda is on 2 episodes and then I think a 1 or 2 gap and then she's back again.
Tag team, back again. But also like that you've branched out to other people in the community. And also I've learned about so many former Vine people.
Yeah. May everyone from Vine go on to do better things.
Yes.
Vine walked so that Potterless could run.
Truly, truly. And it also, I find it funny that like when Vine people turn to podcasting, because it's just like your medium was 6 seconds and now you're going into like hour long content.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes it's really good.
It's a bit of a stretch.
It's an interesting transition, but like you nailed it, dude.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm just gassing you up for this whole episode.
Please go on to the things I messed up in the episode, which I'm sure I did.
I think these chapters start out, or at least early on, are the flying lesson chapters.
Right.
And you got really excited about Hooch being like more a part of the series.
Oh.
And
yeah, she's not.
She's really not. And I tried to temper your expectations without like spoiling stuff.
Thank you.
Because I also kind of forgot whether or not she showed up again, but she doesn't. She really doesn't.
Okay, I'm going to go to the Sporkle Top 200 Harry Potter quiz to see what her ranking is. So let's see. Ooh, not great. Hooch is the 114th most mentioned person in the Harry Potter series, which is not particularly high.
Yikes.
She ranks just behind Regulus Black, who was really only in a part of the 7th, and just above Mr. Borgin of Borgin and Burks. So, I don't think she goes on past the first book.
Yeah, she really gets that one scene. But, you know, she lives on in the fanfic of her and Pomona Sprout living together.
Oh, yeah, that's official canon at this point. That's not even fanfic.
Right.
That is true, and I will take it to my grave.
Right, in a nice little house in Hogsmeade with their zillion dogs. Just so many dogs.
I love it. I love it a lot.
Like, what else does she do? Because I can't imagine the flying lessons being, like, more than 3 sessions during your first year.
Oh, here's something she actually might be in past the first book. She does ref the Quidditch matches.
Oh, okay.
So maybe she gets mentioned 1 time per book.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right.
So I know she does that, but there are only 4 Quidditch matches a year? There's not that many? Hey, Editing Mike here. I know I hate Quidditch, but I'm a stickler for math, and I'm here to say that there are actually 6 Quidditch matches that take place each season. Gryffindor versus Hufflepuff, Gryffindor versus Slytherin, Gryffindor versus Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff versus Slytherin, Hufflepuff versus Ravenclaw, and Slytherin versus Ravenclaw. 6 matches, all of them horrible, because it's Quidditch and not basketball.
I don't think she coaches anyone unless she's coaching.
No, there are no coaches. It's just the captain who is a student.
It's really just the captains. Well, I think McGonagall's technically like the coach, but she's more of like a spot, like a faculty sponsor.
Yeah.
Like you have in college.
Right,
she's just like, I don't know, I got to sign off on this. So whatever. But they don't actually do anything. Moving on. Sorry to spoil Hogsmeade Butterbeer, but like you already knew.
I already knew.
That.
I'd been to the parks. I knew it was very tasty. And we had talked about it before the episode started.
Yeah.
So like we knew where I stood. And that's what's very nice is some people thought that the earlier guests were ruining things by talking about stuff beyond book one.
Right.
But you, Alex, Amanda, all the people on early in the show, I did not get spoiled by you or anyone across the entire podcast. No guest ever spoiled something significant that I didn't know.
It's because we love you.
And that's a feat.
It's because we love you. I did get very Hermione Granger know-it-all and was like, well, that's in book three. And so I knew, like, I gave you that much to anticipate, which I don't know whether or not you wanted that, but, like, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Another thing that I find very interesting is you were very excited about Quidditch.
Oh, I was. I had
so
much
hope
for it. You
were so excited about a sport.
I had so much hope for it.
And then you realize it's a terrible game. I think, like, you were, the wheels were turning during this episode of, like, you can't, why does it only, why is there only, like, one player that matters? If you catch the snitch, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, I was hoping it was going to get fleshed out a little bit more, and then
it
didn't.
It didn't.
It had so much potential.
And I kind of spoiled the World Cup for you because I was like, oh, yeah, Ireland will win, but Crumb will catch the snitch. That'll make sense in the fourth book.
I had seen the fourth movie, so I did know that that was a thing.
But it's very, like, explicit. Like, that's very much, I think, Ron's or somebody's.
Fred and George bet money against Ludo Bagman on it.
Hey, there is a huge red herring in book one, and you call it out of them being like, Snape's the bad guy. Snape's definitely the bad guy, but it's not. And, like, you called it, you knew. And yet, he still went on to call Ludo Bagman the bad guy.
Like, here's my defense of it, and I've said this before, but the first book is just an episode of Scooby-Doo, and the way Scooby-Doo works is the first person you meet is guilty, and they don't seem that suspect in the beginning, and that was Quirrell, and then the next person you meet that is super suspect is the red herring. So I was trying to follow that logic in book four because Barty Crouch seems super suspect initially, and Ludo Bagman is just there,
right?
And then there's tiny little bits of suspicion throughout. Then JK just took the rug out from under me and said, hey, actually, that person we said is dead is alive, and they're pretending to be someone else with Polyjuice Potion. Didn't see that one coming, did you? No, I didn't, because you said that person was dead.
No one saw it coming.
Which I get that you don't, it doesn't have to be fair. These aren't explicitly mystery novels, but I felt like that was a cheap move.
If you did see that coming, go write your own goddamn mystery novel.
Yeah, like, I would love to reread it and see if there's any sort of clue that Barty Crouch Jr. is alive, but I think no.
None. I don't know. Was he supposed to have died in Azkaban?
That was what the thought was, but there was the whole Polyjuice and Winky and blah 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 where he's actually living with him. And then under the Imperius and stuff.
I don't think Azkaban is really as, like, secure
it as honestly like. Doesn't seem like a very well-run prison.
People keep breaking out of that prison, like,
and quite easily.
Escape at Dannemora over here.
It's just like, Sirius just is a dog and sneaks through the bars. Doesn't seem that challenging.
Casual. Harry has a memory from his infancy, that's the word. I'm a writer.
It's okay. I didn't know what underfed meant.
Fair.
Even after Googling it.
Very fair.
Underfed?
He has a memory of his parents' death, which makes absolutely no sense.
Right.
Because he was literally 1 year old. And at that point, you don't really start to make memories. Like, trauma can get in, but, like, you don't have that vivid of a memory that you can recall it.
Yes.
And I think now, kind of like going back through the series with this podcast, do you think that that memory is actually Voldemort's memory and they're because of the connection between the two?
Oh, that would make sense. I guess the only confusing thing would be the perspective of it. But I remember that his memory, I don't know if it's in this book or a later one. I remember, like, his memory is just a flash of green light. And that could happen even if it was from his eyes or Voldemort's. So I'd have to see when, like, the initial mention of the memory was, like, when he had that versus just thinking it was the car crash.
Yeah.
But it does make sense because we know that the Voldemort soul thing explains other stuff that he did as a child, such as the parcel tongue things.
Right.
So that could be the same thing. I like it. I'll have to deep dive into this a little more.
Yeah, that might be the reason why it's as vivid as it is.
Sure.
I can understand maybe, like, a 1 or 1.5 year old, like, remembering a flash of light.
Yeah.
But, and this also could be coming from my experience with the movies, because whenever they flashback, like, even in early films, like, it's full on, he's seeing, like, his mother holding him.
And that would definitely be
and
from
it's
Voldemort.
Very much from Voldemort's perspective. So I don't know, man.
I like it.
Oh, so there, you've brought this up in a couple of different podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
There's this scene where Harry is learning about Quidditch with Oliver Wood, Dreamy Boy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, so it's kind of like basketball. And Oliver Wood is like, what's basketball? And you cried.
My poor heart.
Your poor heart. But also I'm like, how does Harry know anything about basketball unless he's like really following the NBA? Because like, they don't really do it.
No, they don't. Yeah. I made the joke, like, how do they know about golf but not basketball? But being in Scotland / the UK, it makes sense.
You mentioned at one point you didn't really know any British basketball players. And then you mentioned one guy and he ended up being French.
Yes. That was Nicolas Batum, who was French. I have since researched basketball players from the UK.
Yes.
And when you Google it, there's really only three people show up, but only two matter. One is Ben Gordon, who's pretty good. One is Luol Deng, who had a very nice career. And then the third is Michael Olowokandi, whose entire claim to fame was that he was a number one overall pick and then was notoriously bad at basketball.
Whoa.
So
hell of a last name.
The UK's all right. You got Luol Deng, but it's about it.
Yeah. But the Brits do have netball.
Oh.
Which is a sport that I think mostly women play, but it's kind of like basketball, and I don't really know that much about it.
I have just Googled netball, and it's a bunch of ladies on what looks like a volleyball court.
Yes.
But then the basketball hoop does not have a backboard on it.
That's hardcore. Like, how do you even see that?
Even though you don't use the backboard a ridiculously high amount of times on a lot of shots.
Right.
Like, visually, it just looks strange to look at this without a backboard.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my perspective and depth perception is way off.
If I had any, like, eye problems, I would have trouble seeing that personally.
Yeah.
At least the backboard is like, oh, I see that. It's cool. I know where I'm aiming, whatever. It also looks like the net looks a lot smaller than a basketball net.
I think it might be a little lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a hybrid of volleyball and basketball.
Yes.
And apparently Australia is very good at it. So
of course
here we go.
They
netball.
Are. Netball. We love it. Also, I don't think they dribble. That's a part of it.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense. Well, I can't think of a better way to wrap this up. So Charlotte, thank you so much for being on the podcast many moons ago and also coming on for this little recap so we can relive the olden times of Potterless when I had a bad microphone. But you were the first episode where you had your own audio equipment. So I got to edit your tracks differently, more so than just pointing a Bluetooth speaker at my microphone. So
you've come so far.
I had come so far just from episode 1 to 2, but now episode 90, whatever. And from episode 2, we've grown a lot.
We've grown a lot. There's no dead air. There's no like random ums and giggling.
Nope.
And whatever. I mean, there's giggling, obviously, because jokes.
Sure.
Yeah, it's tight. And it's,
thank you.
It's good. It's good shit.
Well, thank you so much for joining. And now we move on to episode 3.
Ooh.
Pass, Mike. You're so silly. We can't move on to episode 3 just yet because first we have to take a little bit of time to make sure this podcast is sustainable with Wingardium Leviosa. Today's episode is brought to you by another podcast I've created, Meddling Adults. Meddling Adults is a whodunit game show for charity where I serve as the host and guests compete head-to-head in a contest of solving children's mysteries from classics like Encyclopedia Brown, Scooby-Doo, and Shelby Woo, and whoever scores the most points earns money for a charity of their choosing. Points are awarded for correct guesses, bonus points are given out for absurd accusations, and you can play along at home to test your sleuthing prowess against the wits of fictional young detectives. You can listen to Meddling Adults by searching for Meddling Adults wherever you get your podcasts or going to our website, meddlingadults.com. I hope you check it out and happy sleuthing. And now you'll hear words from a few sponsors who make it feasible for me to be a full-time podcaster. Some of these ads will be read by me, others of them won't. The ones that aren't are inserted locally, so if you live internationally, don't be surprised if you hear an ad in your country's native language. And once those ads are complete, we'll get back to this episode of Potterless. So, now we move on to episodes 3 and 4 of Potterless, which cover the first 10 chapters of Chamber of Secrets. Oh, what a time when we did 5 chapters per episode.
You did a full book in 2 episodes. I had to check my podcast player to make sure it was right.
The best is like recently people are like, man, oh, I feel like Mike is milking it. It's like, if I really wanted to milk it, I would be like these podcasts that do it chapter by chapter from the beginning.
I think during the episodes, I joked that it would take like 5 or 6 years for you to get through all the books. Listen, 3 is pretty close.
You came closer than me. There was definitely an episode where I was like, yeah, it'll be like 30 episodes. Here we are with episode 90, whatever. So yes, I had you on for the first 10 of book 2, and it was very intentional. I wanted you at the start of that one because that was one I knew that that like some seeds were planted. So I thought that would be fun to have. And you had been helping me so much with Potterless because I just kept emailing you like, hi, I'm making a podcast. What do I do? Since you had done Spirits. So let's, yeah, how were the episodes? How did it feel looking back on it 3 years in the future?
I know, it was really strange because you opened up by being like, Amanda, and you have a podcast. It's called Spirits, right? I quote, it's called Spirits. Is that right? And I was like, oh, man, so much, so much to come. But it's amazing that we're now like coworkers doing this full time. And, you know, that each of us giving each other like help and, mm-hmm. and promotion has grown into a real company. So yeah. that's pretty wild. Audio's bad, man.
Oh.
I understand now some of the iTunes reviews. And that's on both of us.
Oh, but yeah, I was recording on a Blue Snowball. Were you on a Yeti?
I had a Yeti and just like an echo living room.
Oh, I was in a Houston apartment with like vaulted very high ceilings.
Houston days, wow.
Yeah, this was Houston. I had a one bedroom loft apartment. So
oh, I remember
it was
this.
Really big ceilings, so super
echoey. And like your roommates
echoey.
Came home in the middle of one of the
yep.
recordings.
Mm-hmm. He did. He had no idea what was happening because I had not explained it to him. Aww. And then my microphone was on top of a bunch of books and textbooks.
Yeah.
Just in front of my laptop.
Well, my main impression was that I was so excited to share a lot of my opinions and you were so quick to have takes.
Good.
In a way that I think is like the fundamental foundation. It's the bedrock of Potterless.
Yes.
For example, very early on, we talked about the use of the phrase, he must not be named.
Uh-huh.
And I pointed out like, yeah, you know, only Harry and Dumbledore are the ones that that name him.
Uh-huh.
And this will actually be significant in the future.
Right.
Meaning like calling Voldemort's name in mm-hmm. books 6 and 7 actually does summon him. And there uh-huh. is actually some kind of
right.
like tracking magic, which obviously you did not know.
Uh-huh.
But you were like, I'm on team name him. And I was like, Mike, you don't know anything about Voldemort. Why are you on a team? There are no teams and you're not on any of them. You're not allowed to audition yet.
I'm ready to try out for the team.
It was extremely fun. You also said that you were happy to have someone who was a childhood fan on because I was talking about how a lot of the imagery, like the Ford Anglia outside the bedroom window and like the layout of Harry's room, really mapped onto my childhood in a really strong way. And you were like, yeah, everyone has emotional connections and I just point out plot holes.
Mm-hmm,
so that continues.
Very accurate.
Yeah. No, it was very sweet.
It was good. I remember the dynamic of these and listening back a little bit. It was definitely something where I remember being like, I could do every episode with Amanda and me because A, Amanda's very good, but B, we're very different.
Yeah.
Where Amanda's like, here's all the reasons and I read the prologue and here's what it all means. And I'm like, here's a dumb joke.
I think that's really exemplified in, I believe this is your first fuck Quidditch.
Oh,
here.
Yeah, because the previous one, Charlotte and I talked about it.
You were super optimistic.
I was very optimistic.
Yeah.
It's a sport on brooms. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, and everything.
You, of course, start pointing out how it is not a sport
no.
in any way. But I actually stand by the metaphor I came up with on the spot, which mm-hmm. is that Quidditch is like a play within a play mm-hmm. in Hamlet, right?
Where,
like,
Hamlet
uses that as an excuse, right? To like not talk to his stepfather about how he like has very many edible issues and like jealousy. And I just am curious what you believe now at the end of the series about the use of Quidditch in the books. Like, obviously we can talk about it as a sport. It's really funny, but mm-hmm. what are your feelings now looking back?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. And I have used that as an explanation when people ask me about my Quidditch hatred. I say that it is more like a Shakespeare thing when they have a play within a play, and that is supposed to tell a story rather than actually be a good play or whatever it is. I can tell J.K. Rowling doesn't know what sports are, and that's okay, but maybe don't make that a major part of your book. But as far as like what they're supposed to do,
yeah.
if you take away the sport and just look at it and say, what happened in this chapter without saying Quidditch, like emotionally what happened, it was things like Harry getting angry or people not dealing with emotions or Harry having to face dementors or all this other stuff. Ginny's rise. Like, if you look at the Quidditch and remove the sport, what it does, it's a vessel for good things.
Bad things, like Harry taking an L.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah.
Harry getting into the hospital wing,
right.
which I also pointed out was very much a sight of like people who shouldn't be running into each other, spending time together.
Uh-huh.
Like Harry listening to the teachers talk to each other like they do in these chapters, or like overhearing, you know, Colin Creevy or like mm-hmm, Malfoy mm-hmm. being talked to by their friends. So we do actually get a really interesting kind of tour of like all of the major scenes and places that scenes take place in Hogwarts.
Yeah, I think it's fine for what it's supposed to do. As someone that really likes sports, though, it makes me sad because it doesn't
yeah.
make sense. And yeah, this is the first one where I think in the beginning, that's when they reveal that they lost the Quidditch final because, or maybe that might be at the end of book one, but at some point it's discussed that like they didn't play the Quidditch final, or Harry didn't play it. They had to play man down because he was in a coma. And I was like, you couldn't have postponed the game? He just defeated Voldemort. You couldn't wait a little? And then, of course, and then book three, Malfoy's like, oh, my arm hurts. Oh, we have to stop the game.
Yeah.
We need to postpone it. And it's just the inconsistencies. Ugh.
I stick to the observation, like, why can't there be a cushioning charm just across the whole field?
Right.
Like, why is it possible that these wizards who are flying mm-hmm. can fall to the ground and break every bone in their body?
And they have other charms in the sport to
the
make it work better.
Yeah,
exactly.
All
the,
of it.
The quaffle at least is charmed.
The bludgers.
So that, yeah, the bludgers are charmed to like hit people, chase people, whatever. And then the quaffle is charmed to where you don't actually have to palm it. It just like levitates towards you.
Oh, I didn't
you.
Know that. And yeah, the snitch, so, of course.
Yeah. And then snitch is its whole thing. But yeah, the quaffle is kind of like if you ever play a hockey video game, you just pass it to someone and
sure.
then it just like absorbs into that player
yeah,
and
yeah.
you don't have to like move your stick to catch it. So that's what it is. Like quaffle, you just kind of like, it has something where it stays. And then I also think there's a charm on it that levitates, where if you drop the quaffle, it doesn't shoot down. It kind of like floats or slowly goes down.
Oh, interesting.
I remember reading that when I did Quidditch Throughout the Ages as the opening act for Join the Party, and got very mad at a very small book.
Well, I would be really interested in how you would design Quidditch with sports rules. I think that could be an interesting
it's very simple.
Bonus episode or right. feature. Maybe you don't want to spoil it now.
I'll just very quickly, one quick fix is this: just the snitch can't do both things. The snitch can't end the game and be worth 150
sure.
points. So either make it only end the game, and then it's a fun thing of like, you have to try to catch the snitch, but also keep the other seeker away if you're losing until your team takes
right.
the lead, then grab it. Or what? And then the other thing it could be is if it's just 150 points, and this is what they do in Muggle Quidditch, like when humans play it, it's just worth points, and
yeah.
then the game is timed. If you just
yeah.
do that, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
I would almost have no problems. We get into more detail, like the subs and all these other, like, why can't you postpone games, blah, blah, blah. But very easy fix. Just
sure.
make the snitch not do both.
I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And maybe there isn't a position of seeker, but instead four chasers. Because
right.
I, like in basketball, right? Like you kind of decide who is good on defense, who's good on offense,
mm-hmm.
like what point guards you want to have. Do you want someone who's like really good at like you have to use a limited number of spots to decide the best strategic advantage for your team.
Totally.
Like, do you load up on people who do threes really well? Do you load up on people who
exactly.
are great, like close shooters?
Mm-hmm.
And so deciding, okay, well, we're going to, you know, this team that we're playing, we know they have a dope seeker, so we're going to put in a chaser who can really do that.
Yeah.
And kind of like a switch.
That would be fun, because it would be like soccer where you have different formations. There's no rule about
yeah,
how many
that's a
position
much better
players.
Metaphor.
Yeah, but like why is it that you have to be, you can only have two bludgers? Like, what if you just really want to beat up, if that team has a really good seeker, it's like, let's add a third bludger so we can hit all of the bludgers.
You did that same mistake. It's very
the
sweet.
Beater, bludger. Person with bat. Let's have
beater
three
beats.
Person with bats.
Beater beats the bludger.
Is okay. Let's have three beaters because
mm-hmm.
their seeker is good.
Yes.
Anyway, was there anything else from these episodes? I know you took notes, which is very good.
Obviously.
And very Amanda.
You said that in your brain you pronounced Malfoy Malfway.
Oh yeah. I thought it was like Malfoy. I think it was, I had seen the movies and they said it British
yes.
in the movies.
Mm.
So I, without knowing the spelling, never seeing it written, thought it was that. This also happened a couple of times I audiobooked. There is an example when it was either one of the Jim Dale or the Stephen Fry ones. I didn't read the book. I audiobooked for when they said Rookwood, because he pronounced it like Rookwood. And I was like, oh, he's saying Rockwood, but he's British.
Mm.
So I think that's what it was, is I think I heard British people saying like Malfoy and thought
yeah.
it was like Malfway, but instead of saying way, they said like woy.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, for a very long time, I mispronounced his name, potentially in the first three episodes of Potterless
no,
as well.
It was extremely charming. It was extremely charming. But my only other note is just shining some light on myself.
Okay.
Where we talked about Arthur Weasley.
Yeah.
Because Harry goes to the Burrow to mm-hmm. hang out and spend time. And I stand by my assertion that like Molly Weasley is like so many kids, I think, stand-in mother figure. Because
oh, yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
just as she is for Harry, like she is demonstrating so much like fierceness, humor, you know,
mm-hmm.
Love, care, like actual hospitality.
Totally.
But Arthur, I was like, yeah, it's weird that he's like on the Department of like Muggle Item Enforcement
sure.
and also loves Muggle items. And I said in the episode, it's like he is an FBI agent who's also a serial killer. And knowing Arthur Weasley now, you might find that funnier, but
that
I thought it was great.
Very funny. But no, it is a weird conflict of interest where he really does love all of the items, but then he's to make sure
he's yeah. to take it away from people.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's so good. And then he's the one thing, and this isn't in this book, but it does boggle my mind that he is so obsessed with Muggle things and doesn't know how money works.
Nothing.
That just doesn't make any sense
Nothing.
To me.
Or he loves plugs and isn't even really sure what they're for, like
mm-hmm.
electrical sockets.
Yeah.
But it's yeah. Arthur. Oh boy.
Love him. What a guy.
So much about the educational system. This is completely a side note. Why do they have to take Muggle studies and everyone's so bad? bad at it. Like, why are there no practical magic courses? There are Muggleborns who go there every year. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's very strange. I just saw Puffs a couple days ago, and it was very funny. And not to spoil anything, but there is a character who's Muggleborn, and he's very smart. And then he goes to the wizarding school, and he's bad at everything because he's like, I'm good at math, and there's no math class. I guess arithmetic maybe, but you don't take that as a first year. And then he goes to Muggle studies, and it's just like holding up a picture. It's like, what is this? And it's a picture of a toaster. And he's like, oh, that's a toaster. And then it's like another picture of something easy. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I like this course. So I thought that was funny because, yeah, it is ridiculous to think if you were Hermione, you would be so good at Muggle studies. You would just know everything. They'd be like, and this.
Yeah. I think that's why Hermione didn't take it her time turner year, because she wanted to run out her skill set.
Right. It was an elective, right?
It was.
Okay. So I guess Muggleborns just wouldn't take it, or all Muggleborns would take it. It'd be the easiest A ever.
Yeah. No, totally. Like, Harry doesn't know how to stop his own bleeding in book 7. Like, Hermione has to do it for him. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Well, thank you so much for joining on way back when.
My pleasure.
For helping me so much. That initial Facebook status you made where you said, my friend is making a podcast, I think it's going to be funny. A lot of guests came from it. Rosianna Hulse Rojas replied to that. Melissa Anelli replied to that. A lot of people who...
Jordan Edwards, I think.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people who have been on the show or important in my podcasting life is thanks to you. And I really appreciate it. And I'm glad we get to work together now.
My pleasure.
Look how far we've grown from you make a podcast called Spirit. It's right to, oh, hey, it's Amanda, CEO of Multitude.
Well, I'm glad that both you and I spent 5 years on YouTube making videos for no money
because it brought us together. I made tiny amounts.
I think I made about $200.
There was a point in time where I was making $50 a month purely because one of my videos, which I jokingly gave like a clickbaity title and a thumbnail, actually that worked because it showed up as a related video for something else. And I just got hated on, but I just disabled all notifications because I made $50 a month for like a year for a video that just like happened to get 2 million views for
probably
nothing.
Paid for your camera.
You know, that was honestly,
I
justified a couple purchases with it. I was like, oh yeah, I got that YouTube money, but then YouTube was like, you have to have a certain amount of followers, so I couldn't make my little like tiny checks.
We survived YouTube
and we never have to deal with YouTube comment sections again, and now we just get nice people saying nice things about our podcasts.
I can't wait to come back for Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, you'll be back very soon because someone flaked on me and then you joined in really quick. Hey,
you got it. Listen, I'll talk about Azkaban anytime, any place.
Well, good, we'll do it in like a couple days when we record the next thing.
Bye.
Okay, cool, thanks Brando. Okay, so now we move on to episodes 5 and 6 of Potterless, and I am joined by Sydney Adams, and I'm just looking at this on the episode descriptions for episode 5 and 6. I wrote Sydney Adams and then in parentheses prostitute because Vine still existed when we recorded this episode of Potterless.
That did not age well, I would just like to say.
I will probably, after recording, go back and change it so it just says Sydney Adams.
No, honestly, let me live forever in memory. R.I.P.
So, this was your first appearance. This was to cover chapters 11 through 13 and then 14 through 18 of Chamber of Secrets. Chamber and Secrets, both things. So, listening back, did you find any little fun nuggets from these episodes?
I did. Also, I took notes because I was very good at school.
Oh, nice.
And just kind of holding on to that forever. But I was listening and I was trying to be so coy about so many things. You kept guessing about what would happen and I kept being like, I don't know, maybe. Which in retrospect obviously gives it away.
I mean, at the time it probably went over my head because I definitely don't remember anything ever being spoiled for me.
Good.
So if anything ever was, it just went way over my head.
Everyone was trying to be very careful. But the biggest thing that struck me when I was listening back, I wondered if you knowing things just in general, because Harry Potter was such a cultural phenomenon, it's like the Star Wars thing where everyone's like who shot first, or Darth Vader's the dad. I wondered if Harry Potter being such a cultural phenomenon ruined some things for you, because you obviously ruined surprises, but ruined the experience because you're referencing in the second book that Snape kills Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. You're referencing the thing where he loved Lily Potter. I just wanted to know if that you think that personally took anything away from you. Because reading the book, obviously, you'll be like, oh, there's that thing everyone's talking about.
Yeah, I don't know if it necessarily ruined it, but it definitely did color it.
Like a beautiful velvet paint by numbers from Michaels.
If I didn't know certain things like how things end up with Snape or that Harry gets with Ginny and Ron ends up with Hermione, I think it would have been more fun for me just to learn about those naturally. I don't know that it would have changed too many of my opinions. Mm-hmm. I definitely still would have thought Snape sucks. And
well, yeah, everyone does. And then the reveal comes along that Dumbledore trusted him with this. And you're like, oh, no, he was a bad guy, but he was just acting.
He's complex.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if like it would have changed any of the big opinions that I had. Like, I still would have loved Ginny and thought she was perfect for Harry if I didn't go into the series knowing it. I do think it would have been more fun for me to have been surprised by some of the huge things if I didn't know that Sirius turned out to be a good guy, or if I didn't know that Snape kills Dumbledore. I was still surprised by that just because of how it happened and how quickly it went down.
Yeah.
But I do think that I lost out a little bit on the experience of completely going in blind just because it was such a thing and I was on the internet in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
That it was completely unavoidable.
Of course.
All of the spoilers came through just because I had a Tumblr account in 2010.
And there was no subtlety on Tumblr ever, so.
No. Yeah, I don't know if it ruined it, but it definitely took away from it. I don't know if it took away in a bad way.
Of course.
It changed things for sure.
Yeah, because when you're a kid reading these books for the first time, these reveals come along and they're done in such a careful way that children can understand that I remember getting to some of those big reveals as, what, a 10, 11, 12, 13, however many books, however old I was, mm-hmm. getting to those parts and just being like, what? No way! Like, just losing my mind over some of those really drawn out reveals, because it's, and we talked about this in the episode, but just how far in advance did she plan all of these? Because there was secrets or buildups that lasted books and books and books. And did she know ahead of time? Or was it just kind of moment of inspiration where she was like, oh, now this thing happens?
Yeah, I would be very interested if I ever do get to talk to JK.
You're JK Rowling. You can answer these questions for me. So I'm asking you.
If I ever could talk with her, that would be one of the things. I don't know if she would admit it. But I would love to know how many of the things were legitimately planned and how much of them were, oh, I wrote this thing that I thought was going to be a throwaway detail. And then it actually ended up being really important. Because in some instances, you could see it. And I know that the second book, mm-hmm. especially, has a lot of things that later on become important. The diaries, the first Horcrux, and the basilisk fang ends up being used later on, et cetera, et cetera. It would be very funny if she just made the creepy diary and then later on was like, what if I made the creepy diary very important? I would love to know.
She's like, ooh, I'm going to close this loophole that I've created for myself.
I'm sure there were a lot of things planned ahead. I'm sure there were some things that she kind of went back and decided to make it work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an interesting thing to consider, especially with this book that I don't know that there's much else going on except for looking back and being like, the seeds.
Yeah, going, oh, that's that's the general response. That's actually the New York Times official review of Chamber of Secrets. It's just, Has she, has J.K. Rowling ever acknowledged her existence?
No.
Not on Twitter or anything?
Nothing. She's not even liked to
tweet
or
whatever.
Yeah,
it's because you're not important, sorry.
No, I am not. It's really funny when there have been a couple Reddit threads mm-hmm. where some people say, oh, Mike shouldn't be so critical of J.K. Rowling. He's ruining the chance of the inevitable interview. It's like, yo, it's not gonna happen.
You were like, I was never planning on having an interview with her, but thank you for thinking so highly of my capabilities.
Exactly. That's what I told her. I was like, I told the person who wrote it, I think you are completely overestimating how important this podcast is. Yes, it is listened by a lot of people, but it is nowhere near large enough to where J.K. Rowling knows of its existence. And even if she does know that it exists, I am so far beneath her for her to even acknowledge it in any format at all.
And we are not worthy.
I would love to live in a world where she knows about it, but just refuses to like pay me any due.
Hey, baby, there's an alternate universe where she talks to you, so you can live with that knowledge.
I just want to talk to Daniel Radcliffe. That's the real number one. I would much rather talk to him than JK.
Yeah, I want to ask him about that photo of him walking like 1,000 dogs in New York City. That's mm-hmm. what I would ask him, and then I would walk out the door.
Anything else in the episode that stood out?
Yes, I have a couple other things written down. One of them is, I wrote, house points are like Whose Line points, where they're made up and they just don't matter. Like, just because we fixated for so long on how arbitrary the point system is and how Harry could like fart and get 10 house points for passing gas. And so I was like, oh, the house cup points are just Whose Line Is It Anyway points. And I can't believe I didn't realize that until now.
I mean, that is true. There is no apparent set system. No. And I think the point that we were making here is that at the end of the year, for saving the world, they just kind of give 50 points to each of the kids, which is wild in that you could lose the same amount of points if
for
you
being out of your dorm,
right, your shoe being untied or something. By these standards, because the Quidditch points go towards house cup points, catching the snitch is 3 times better than defeating Voldemort.
Yeah, just by that logic. I mean, they never talk about math in the Harry Potter universe, so I think that maybe they just don't know how to do it. This is canon for me now.
I mean, they have the one math class, arithmetic, is an elective, so it's not a core class.
Just an elective.
Yeah, it's not mandatory for anyone to take, and we never learn anything about the class except for that the professor's name is Professor Vector, because of course it is.
Oh god, of course it is. Yeah, I mean, they're not setting these kids up to do anything productive if they're choosing to live in the Muggle world, so I'm just imagining one of these kids trying to get an entry-level job, and they're like, what do you mean you don't know how to do math? They're like, I can unlock a mean bathroom door, but if you need me to make a spreadsheet, I'm so sorry. My cover is blown. I'm a wizard.
That's pretty true. I mean, they can't... Arthur Weasley couldn't use money. It's rectangles with numbers on them. Right. Like, it's not hard.
But it's funny because it's like, they have a currency. And we know that other currencies exist in other countries, so couldn't you just be like, oh, this is Muggle currency. I'm going to figure out how much it's worth, as opposed to being like, linen rectangle. I will never figure you out.
My weakness.
My one weakness. Linen printed with numbers, because I never took a math class.
Oh, that's very good.
Oh, also sidebar. Another sidebar to the sidebar. We're just going tangent now.
Please.
So Harry Potter takes place in the 80s, right?
It's like late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. I don't know what was going on in the United Kingdom in the 80s, but why are there not way more fucked up hairdos and outfits?
Yep.
I want Harry Potter with the largest radioactive cell phone known to man walking around Hogwarts being like, we gotta go to the mall later.
Yeah, I don't get why they're drinking pumpkin juice and not Orange Julius. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? This is a hill I want to die on.
No, I've made the comment many times that the cultural reference is not happening, especially because a lot of the kids are Muggle-born. That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a missed opportunity.
Completely.
What else do you have for notes?
Did you ever get your Weasley sweater?
I did get my Weasley sweater.
Thank God.
Someone knitted me a Weasley sweater with a S on it for Shubes.
Oh, absolutely incredible.
I love it. It's very comfortable. It's very warm.
If you ever needed to re-gift it to me, S could stand for Sydney.
It could. It could.
I'm just saying.
It's very good. It's a couple different people offered to make me Weasley sweaters because I mentioned in this episode that I wanted one.
Impeccable.
And one person came through so far, and I have it, and it makes me very happy. I've posted about it on Instagram, so if anyone listening wants to see it, there's a picture of me hugging myself in my warm Weasley sweater. You'll just have to scroll back a little bit to find it. But it also has a link to where you can get one of your own. Yay!
That's amazing!
Yes. So I did get it. So good. Well, Sydney, thank you so much for being on the episode way back when in December of 2016.
I know. I remember lying on my college house couch and recording this and all of my roommates being like, can we talk now? Because I was like, I need the house to be silent so that I can record my friend's podcast. Thank you.
At the time, it's very small, but now you can be like, it's mildly important.
It was a thing. Look, I told you.
It's so good. But I very much appreciated having you on the show because up until that point, I had, not that I didn't have explicitly funny people on, but I had previous guests that were very nerdy and bookish. And I remember you were the first person where I was intentionally when I picked who was going to be in the episodes, I was like, I need someone who's going to be really funny because I need to set the tone early that it's not just Harry Potter nerds that know a bunch of details on the show. And I know sometimes people are like, oh, the hosts don't know everything. It's like, look, this is an entertainment podcast first and a Harry Potter podcast second. So I needed to set that bar right away to show that like not every guest is going to be the same and some guests are going to be incredibly hilarious. And that was you.
Oh, thank you. No problem. It was a delight to be on it then. It's a delight to talk with you now.
Yeah. So it's all good. I love that we hung out in New York a couple weeks ago. So we're all like fun full circle here and stuff.
That was amazing. We got three beautiful photos to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bettina took some quality things on her funky camera and it makes
Shout
me very
Bettina.
Happy.
Shout out Bettina. Listen to her music, Valerie
yes,
Furman.
Please do. She makes the theme song and she makes the horse theme song and they both slap and her music slaps too. She's fantastic. But Sydney, thank you so much for being on and we'll see what happens when I talk to the next guest for the next episodes of Potterless. Woo! Ah, yes. Woo, indeed. That's the end of this first look back of Potterless. Imagine me editing Mike here in one of those, like, fancy pajama things with the scarf, and I'm in a recliner, and there's a fire crackling in the background. This is what's happening right now. Ah, yes. The end of the first Potterless look back. A way that we can go back on these past 2.5 to 3 years of a silly podcast and look at some of the ridiculous things Mike and his friends said over the weeks. I hope you've enjoyed this first look back and the ones to come as we bridge the gap between the Harry Potter books and the Harry Potter movies. Until next time, as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, before they figure out whatever the name of that fancy neck thing, it's like an ascot, but not really. Wizard on! If you want to be more in the know of what's happening with the future of Potterless and what's next and what I'm working on, you should support the show on Patreon, whether it's through director's commentary, bonus episodes, live streams, all of the above. I talk about what's next for Potterless all of the time, and you can get those little sneak previews if you go to patreon.com/potterless. Potterless was created by Mike Schubert, it is hosted by Mike Schubert, it is edited by Mike Schubert, it is produced by Mike Schubert, as well as Vicky Garcia, Aaron Johnson, Jesse Horgan, Natalie Klobuchar, Klaus Serlopu, Frank Chiodo, Marchismo, Samantha Rose, Juan Sanfilio, Abita Med, Rosemary Daja, Maria Lisa Sikin, Romina Rivadeneer, Camille Dock, Russell Dunk, Audra, Eleanor Curlin, Sydney Cawthorn, Rosa and Batamana, Nikita Power, Taylor Armstead, Ali Madsen, Amelia Krauss, Sean Montag, Sarah Nink, Ben Silver, Rachel Guthrie, Zachary Pulido, Orchid Grower, Vivian Owl, Takari Arant, Haley Hastings, Not My Moster, You Bitch, Angelina Withard, Ross Marie Heise, Alex Bisholta, Brian Williams, Kate Sullivan, Grace Riggles, Raul Pineda, Ingen Odstadter, Mari Wynn, Alex Consulver, John Kotker, Noel Basile, Tao, Emily Tyrell, Robin Fernandez, Will Barrington, Liz Bigelow, Mariah Noah, Brandon Pickens, Sarah Anslin, Claire Spencer, Rory Collier, Gloria Gillum, Sarah and Patrick Donifon, Ellie Cap 29, Hallie Bone, Veronica Bartova, Kevin Harnoy, Lotta Bartova, Noah Tracy Toya, Colleen, Jennifer Marklew, Friday J. Svedson, Ivor Peterson, Naomi Guglielmo, Tyler Latshaw, Summer Rathel, Heather Fleischman, Vera Coltham, Carrie D. Bagson, Andrea Kroc, Elisa Grieven, Lynn Walker, Cameron Watkins, Justin Montero, Christine Saunders, Jacob Parrish, Toothless Walnut, Maya Gray, Mark Body, Polly Burge, Surjan Thonmegup, Netta Atabani, Tumnus Moran, Remy Fontaine, Matt Sferley, Sarah Shecker, Nona VM, Zina Rosnowski, Colleen Mage, Harlan Haskins, Sheldarb, Noelia, Addy, Brian, Jenny Campione, Nikki Harris, Cara Hamilton, Dorcas, Courtney Hemwood, Kine, Amanda Alford, Sabrina, Alicia McLaren, Kafir Shaltiel, Lindy Plackey, Martha Madueno, Benjamin Desmond, Skymert 6, Sarah Shedder, Peter Vostenak, Marta Morrison, Stephanie Magnuson, Justine Wade, Aaron Richter, CJ Ochoco, Eileen Gzesh, Violet Sullivan, Kat Yowell, Lindsay Towning, Fielding Lee, Keegan Curran, Miranda Manning, Gail Ann, Mr. Folk, Heather McMillan, Adam Bryan, Christina Walton, Maya, Zachary Davis, Kieran, Heaven, Callahan, Handanderas, Christy, Lily Leader Williams, Wire Warrior 4976, Floor Sake, Sarah Scarsfjord, Georgia, Vile Donner, Itzel Ime Ayala, Mitch Williams, Al Vega, Peter Wyckoff, Candy Kane, Skyla Lily, Adele Ryan, Professor Threat, Kelsey Ulesian, Ellie Hoskovchova, Kelly Maynard, Aluban Maleo, Akin Wande, Lena Karen, Daniel Fulkerson, Rebecca Todd, Lee Lili, Elizabeth Christofferson, Abby, Lika Faccio, Michael David Yordi, Nice Earmuffs Potter, Did Your Mum Make Them For You, Cara Hoyer, Tiffany Cottrell, Kelly Otilio, Nadia Vansgaard, Andrea, Courtney Telfer, Galactic Sparkle Cat, Carrie Crumpler, Jamie Kingston, Lissy Camilo Garcia, Connie Bienkowski, Janet Noelle Detilli, Mary Matille, Imo Sarah, Jennifer Wendt, Mylan Ilstad Johansson, Anastasia Blake, Jaden Allman, Nedry OS, Matt Barger, Riley Lane, Will Huser, Zephyr Lawrence, Artemis Peters, Brett Clausen, Connor Snell, Samantha Lenz, Kayla M. Simino, Lauren Wainwright, Aurora Fruhoff, Emma Clark, Hermione Snape, Liar Nakam, Megan Dick, Out of Context 69, Liam McCormick, Milena Brandy, Marco Zepeda, Ella Robertson, Steam Nuggets, Can't I Potter? And yes, I can. Web design by Kelly Beckman, and the music is by Bettina Campomanes. If you want to find Potterless on social media, you can at facebook.com/potterless, twitter.com/potterlesspod, instagram.com/potterlesspodcast, or reddit.com/r/potterless. For any and all information about the show, you can go to our website at potterlesspodcast.com. For merchandise, you can go to bit.ly/merchon. And for bonus content, you can head to patreon.com/potterless. If you leave a review about the show or tell a friend about it, that helps so much. And thank you again for listening. And until next time, as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, wizard on!